if the opportunity came, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a chunk out of it. I want a piece of that blade.
This is the last chance I'm going to get at designing a Hypershock for a toy, so it had to be perfect.
They knew that they couldn't really go weapon to weapon, so they went weapon to side of weapon.
We hit the jackpot in Vegas.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the discussion for 30-pound weight class for March NHRL. And I'm excited to be joined by, I would say, two of the heaviest hitters, if not the two heavy hitters in that weight class for this event. Matt with Emulsifier and Corey with Synthesis. So thank you both for joining me today.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's always a fun time hanging out with everyone.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think a lot of us, you know, you never know how the bracket's going to go. I would say it's safe to say with the effectiveness of both of your robots that it's likely that you go deep into the bracket and potentially meet back up. But, you know, I'm curious to hear, what do you both think about that? I mean, like, these are just two amazing robots, and I'm sure we would all love to see that happen.
As far as my 30s, they haven't always had the best of luck, but I've been actually testing on the off time, and I've had a lot more success. So going into March, I feel a lot better. It's not actually Synthesis, it's Catalyst XXX, which is similar. It's kind of taking the DNA of the new Beetle Catalyst and the DNA of Synthesis, but incorporating a couple new aspects that only very few people actually know what's going on.
I don't even know what's going on. So, what about you, Matt? I mean, like, you know, obviously last season was just massive for Emulsifier. What do you anticipate this being the first outing for it this year?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly wasn't even going to fight at this event. However, with the new rules for NHRL, they, you know, it's basically a lottery to get in if the field reaches the cap. So I had nothing else going on. The robots were still in pretty good shape from the finals, surprisingly. So it's like, what the heck? Let's do it. And, you know, there's a good chance Corey and I probably will end up fighting at some point, just hopefully not in the qualifier rounds.
Yeah.
So that would be pretty brutal one way or another.
I feel like it would be.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to take a lot of damage in the first two fights, that's for sure. But, you know, surprisingly, a lot of the robots that are signed up, I didn't even recognize the names of them. Seems to be a lot of new robots signed up for this one. Yeah. I don't know if everyone's just at Motorama or what the deal is, but besides Corey and maybe Vorion, the bulk of the rest of the field, I don't know what we're even up against, to be honest. It's going to be kind of a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I try to guess what everything roughly is, but outside of Vorion and Emulsifier, I'm not familiar with many of the names.
Yeah.
I think probably the one that stood out for me that I don't know, but I always know that those folks are going to have some tricks up their sleeves, is the Barbie and Ken entry. From James and Brian, from that team, just because, I mean, there's been the past stuff with the loophole robot, and now they have this Barbie and Ken, and I'm really curious to see what that is exactly.
At All Stars, James and Brian were talking about how it would be a similar situation where you can bring the loophole aspect from the Beatles into the 30s. So it'll be interesting. What is it, 49 and a half pounds that you can bring into the 30 pounds if you do what, multi and shuffler? And so it'll be interesting.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see that, what they come up with too. I have no idea.
Were there any other ones in the list that really like stood out to either of you, just like looking at the name and wondering what could this be? Or even when you look at the builders that, you know, that are bringing them, I mean, you have, you know, three liftoff bots in every, like, one in every weight class, and I think that could also potentially be really interesting.
Go ahead, Matt, sorry.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I saw that the Project Liftoff guys had a entry as well, so I'm sure that'll be interesting. I'm sure they'll bring something good.
So I just pulled the list up. So Animosity was the two-wheel undercutter with the really large tall mag that stuck up from the top. And then there's also Plasma Gun, which is made by the Railgun Max folks out in China. So you better believe they'll probably bring a large heavy hitter. And so that'll be a fun one. Also the Combat Collective. I don't know if anyone in here is familiar with him. I don't remember his name. He always does recaps, but he's bringing a 30, and I believe this is his first ever robot.
It could be very interesting, I will say. Now, I'm curious, Matt, from your perspective, I mean, I know that they kind of started this towards the end of the year, but the new kind of the new format and everything, as far as like with the qualifying rounds and the way that that's set up now, this will really be the first time this year that you've kind of gotten into that in like a standard, you know, competition setting and not like finals or all-stars or anything like that. What do you think about it? I mean, you know, I had back in January, I loved it. I thought that it was great. I think that it really adds a different dynamic, and I think it works out, I think, better in the end, personally.
No, I do like what they've done with the two qualifier rounds, and, you know, I believe none of the ranked robots fight each other in the first two rounds, if I read the rules correctly. But it's more of like a modified Swiss tournament format, which I think is an improvement. And yeah, I mean, I'm excited. You know, once you get to the single elimination bracket, obviously, you know, you can't make any mistakes from that point on. But, you know, that's part of it. And I'm excited to see how it works out, how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And does that change like the overall format, as far as you mentioned earlier about, like, you know, with the lottery and stuff, does that really change your strategy? Because it's not like you can just come to every event. Like, if you go to an event, you really have to give yourself the best chance of winning, or at least getting into the finals to qualify, you know, as opposed to kind of the way things were done in the past.
Yeah, it didn't really, I wouldn't say necessarily changes my strategy at that particular event, how I'm going to do things. However, I do want to probably get into one of the earlier events now, because in the previous two seasons, I would usually tend to enter one of the last two qualifiers, but I don't want to wait that long this time, because with the lottery and everything, there's no guarantee you're even going to get in the qualifier, and there's probably a good chance everyone's going to try to be qualifying at the end with the new formats. So this seemed like a good opportunity to jump in and try to get qualified again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Corey, for you having multiple robots, I'm sure that may have changed the way that you decide, like, which robots to try and get into which event, or has that changed for you?
It has. So January, I brought Catalyst, and it went 5-1. So it's roughly an 83% win-loss rating. It came in third place. That's another change. They don't take top four anymore. They take top two, and then they look at all the third place. Basically, if you came within the top four of that event, if you're not one or two, you're considered third, because they don't do a round to determine who came in third or fourth. They put all those robots in a group, and then they look at the win-loss rating of them for that year. And then if they're an older bot, they look at last year's. I sit at an 83% win-loss rating. If I brought it to another event and I didn't win that event, it would bring it lower. So it would actually ruin my chances of that robot getting a wild card to go into finals. So it almost discourages you to where, if you don't think you're going to do better than third place, for me, for third place, I'm not going to bring it for the rest of the year and just hope that it makes it in as a wild card. For me, fortunately, because I make a lot of robots in different weight classes, it allows me to, okay, that robot can sit over there on the shelf, and then I can bring a different robot for other people that, like Matt, he does emulsifier, where it, you're kind of in a different situation to where do you bring it, well, not emulsifier, because emulsifier rips everything apart, but other robots that aren't as well well established in this this community, they may be reluctant, to where it's tougher for them to actually make it into the finals, more or less.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And yes, emulsifier does rip everything apart. Exactly. Always exciting to see. And I'm just curious, Matt, even though this doesn't, I mean, like, I was going to say it doesn't have anything to do with NHRL, but I mean, is like the attention that you focus into 30-pound emulsifier, is that affected at all by anything having to do with potentially preparing for BattleBots? Because I mean, you know, as we all know, we don't know anything about that yet, but I mean, I think for most teams, they're still trying to get prepared just in case, you know, because you don't want to be like on your heels and then have to go forward.
Yeah, the way I've been trying to manage that is when I do have a little bit of free time, I'll work on the big robot CAD here and there, getting it ready. So if we ever do get the green light, you know, it's not, oh, I've got to redesign the robot and then start building it. So I've been working on that here and there when I can. And then there's always things that come up where we need to address this issue and this issue. Really, there's no issue that's too small to fix. So in my free time, I've been doing that. But right now, the focus is on the featherweight. And it has been the last, since BattleBots ended, basically.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, one other thing that I'm curious about is because, you know, obviously there's no, you know, real details finalized on it, but we know that NHRL is seeking to have an Ohio event or Ohio-ish event. It may not include all weight classes, but is that something that's on your radar? Like that if they said, well, it's just beetles, would you potentially think of making a beetle just because it would be a kind of a closer hometown event for you?
If that were to happen, I mean, I'd consider it. It just depends how much time I have, I suppose. but yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. Because it's a drive over to NHRL. It's about a 10-hour drive for me. So, you know, it's hard to make it out to more than one event a year, really. So that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, trust me, I understand. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody's really looking forward to this event. You know, personally, I wouldn't be surprised, depending on how things shake out, if your two robots go 1 and 2 in the 30s, but we'll see what happens. I'm here for it, and I'm excited to see whatever way that it ends up working out. So obviously, you know, for everybody that's watching, please make sure you watch, because I think we're gonna see big things from these robots, and just, you know, enjoy the event. All right, so now we are here to talk about the 3-pound division for the March NHRL event. And I had to have somebody on the show that I haven't had on before, and it also happens to be the builder of a robot that I personally don't want to fight, at least not against Apple Turnover, and certainly didn't want to in January. But I have Julian here with Mako, so welcome to the show.
Hey, people. Glad to be on.
Well, I am glad to have you here. I'm very interested to talk about Mako, because there aren't many hammer saws in the smaller weight classes of combat robotics, and so I just think it's super interesting. Where did you come up with like the inspiration for the design and, you know, everything else that you've done with it?
So it's actually kind of funny. I think it was August NHRL last year I came with the saw for the first time. I competed once with just the lifter, the SSP kit. And then like a week before, I saw actually Kokoto's video about Kill It With Fire. And I was like, oh, maybe I can put something on my arm. And within like a week, I figured out the motor, designed the arm, got a saw blade on there, and it worked out. I think I actually went 3-1 or 4-1 that day, the first time using it. So I surprised myself, and it was awesome. Yeah.
I'm sure that because of the style of weapon, a lot of people may think, you know, obviously like derivative of saw blades. I mean, was that robot an inspiration at all behind like going with a hammer saw design?
Not necessarily. Saw blades is obviously awesome. I would say Strike Point is an X Strike Point and all of his robots that are similarly named. They're really impressive. I watch his videos and see how he builds his robots. I believe it's Sean. It's a big inspiration for mine. One thing that's actually interesting is for robot nerds, I've been corrected before. it's technically not a hammer saw. It's an articulated saw because Mako specifically, I actually just have a servo in there. Whereas a lot of other robots like Sawblaze, like Scorpios even, and Strike Point, they usually run trying to slam the weapon down as fast as they can for a big hit. Whereas I literally am using a saw blade and I'm trying to bring it down slowly to get a big cut instead of a one massive hit, which has been done at NHRL before, but not super successfully. A lot of the robots kind of transition into a hammer saw, if you will, for big hits. That's sort of the meta. But I think that cutting through a robot is so much more fun. It's a really different thing when you're holding a robot and it's like slowly coming down as opposed to like a vertical spinner or any kind of spinner where it's big hits and things go flying all around. It's a very different thing. It's very visceral and just very entertaining, I think.
Well, I would definitely have to agree. It's funny because as you were speaking about that, I was going to use the word satisfying,
right, yeah.
To be able to do something like that. In fact, I was making a lot of jokes. You know, this never would have happened, but I was like, I'm going to take Apple Turnover's lifter and I'm going to impale someone. Would have been great if that happened. It didn't, but again, like it's those type of precision moves, you know, whether it be cutting or stabbing or whatever with your robot, I think are some of the most satisfying things to be able to watch and probably do if you have a robot that can do those things.
For sure. And my background isn't in engineering. I'm a computer nerd. So I'm not going to be able to design a robot that's as good as most of these people, but I have more agency when I'm in the box to where, you know, I'm not going to have a robot that's as good as Lynx, but I might be able to drive decently, or at least I have confidence that, you know, my destiny is in my own hands. So I can try to drive my robot, be patient and deliver the good hits versus if I try to build, you know, a crazy vertical spinner. It's just not going to be as good as the other robots that are also vertical spinners.
Yeah, and you know what? This actually is a good segue because part of this segment, my idea behind, you know, who I chose to have on, I think is great because you don't necessarily have the engineering background, Julian, but I also have Alex here who is more on the engineering side of things with Zane. So Alex, if you want to talk about Zane a little bit.
Yeah. I'm Alex. I run Zane, which is a droopy-like torque walker. It hasn't done so well so far. I'm part of the Northeastern Combat Robotics Club, Northeastern University, not just generally. Because I started out with a Fingertech beater bar. It immediately got like annihilated, and I was like, okay, I need to do something different. Nobody has done a droopy. At that point, droopy was like the only droopy. And I was like, okay, I need to do something different. Oh, droopy's the only robot that's like that. And it won every fight, basically. Like, let me go build that I don't have to be very good at driving it. I don't have to outdrive Matt Vasquez or anything.
Yeah. It's funny. It's like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. So the thought was, oh, this will be easy if I just do it right. And then I didn't do it right. And I don't think it would be easy either way anyway. But that's an interesting point, like using driving to make up for engineering skill or engineering knowledge rather. Skill is an interesting way to put that. Not a great way to put that. Don't build torque walkers, people.
I know. It's also funny because Christine might not know this, but I built an ant weight torque walker that did not go too well.
Yeah. I liked watching Minimako fight. I thought it looked fun. I've seen more and more of this like 3D printed unibody with like the bottom mounting in 3D print for the motors as a torque walker concept. I'm curious about it, but I've never seen it quite perform like Droopy or Strider. Especially because you end up with a very flat bottom. One of the tricks with Droopy, and actually an old version of Zane also was able to walk pretty well, is that you have to have the feet. And they need to be not way past the ends of or way past the axis of the spinners. Could talk about Zane physics all day, but we're here to talk about March Northlock.
Yes, and I mean, you can, I really want to hear like from both of you what your preparation is looking like. I mean, we're very close to the event at this point. So, how are you feeling about your respective robots, and, you know, how close are you to feeling like you're where you want to be for the event?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. I will never feel like I'm at all close to where I want to be for the event. But you know, perfect is the enemy of done, or good enough, or however you want to put it. I should have two configurations for Zane. They're pretty radically different. Based on the new Droopies. I watched a fight where Loopy fought Event Horizon, and the gear got smashed immediately on Droopy because of weird angles and stuff. So I have an anti-horizontal configuration that puts a little bit of a gear guard around the gears. And otherwise, I have, because that's a lot of weight, I have a standard configuration that doesn't do that and has more stout weapons. That shouldn't bend as easily as the lighter ones. I don't have two full sets of electronics, but I have two full sets of everything else. And most of it seems to go together well. So I think it will be good. I have a testing day set up. I'm going to use the Team Pandemonium test box this Saturday. So I kind of had a deadline of, like, get it all together by this Friday, which hopefully will make next week kind of chill. Like, I can just focus on like nice to haves. But it's been a lot. I took a bus at like 7 a.m. to like a satellite Northeastern campus to do heat treating. Which like was most of the day. And it wasn't even for the weapons, it was for like these shafts in the robot. So at the very worst, I will have a robot. Hopefully I'll have a set of configurations, but a good amount needs to be done to get there still. Always more to do.
But for me, I'm kind of in the same boat. I actually finished the robot earlier today. I printed my last part and put everything together. tested it out, but I'm still waiting on new forks that I ordered. Senkatsu is running late, and I'm actually hoping to print a whole new mini bot. And then once all that's figured out, printing out more spares. And I like to have basically two copies of the robot ready to go. So if I get some, you know, totally annihilated in my first match, I've still got at least one more robot ready to toss in there. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know about you guys, but there are times when it feels like I don't even know if I'm going to have anything. But after today, I at least know I'll have something. I, you know, screwed everything together and tested it out, and it worked. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, anybody that was at the Team Pandemonium pit table back in September knows how frantic I was not being able to even have a robot working until the next morning. So I definitely, like, understand that. Now, as far as looking at the field for this event, I don't know if, you know, either of you do that, because I know a lot of people do, but are there any robots that you saw that you're like, oh, that would be challenging to face, or anyone that you're like, whoa, I really hope that I get matched up against them?
Well, I have two types of robots that I'm absolutely not prepared for. And those are overhead attack robots and flame bots. So I'm afraid of Kill It With Fire. To some extent. The top plate on Zane is thinner aluminum than I would like it to be. But it is aluminum, so maybe I can get away with it. And then Mako really scared me when I saw that it was on the list. Don't tell anyone, but like, we're also really bad against SSP kits as Droopy and Zane like robots. So I was afraid of that. It seems like it's not an SSP kit anymore, so that gives me a little bit of confidence if I have to fight you, Julian.
Yeah, that's funny. Hopefully the de-SSPification was an improvement, but we'll see.
If Zane can't kill a robot, then it can't win. Like, it's not going to win control points. That doesn't make any sense.
That's a good point, yeah.
How about you, Julian?
Well, it's funny because I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I was actually kind of afraid to face Zane as well. Because so far, I've gotten my butt kicked by horizontal spinners. Because first off, I'm usually impatient and I'll just throw the arm down into things I shouldn't. And then at last tournament, Wicked Sequel kind of like went diagonal and just ripped my saw off before I could even have a chance to make a mistake. Yeah. So having two big overhead spinners are scary, because I'll have to figure out a way to slow them down. But thankfully, in the redesign, I've brought the saw like all the way back, kind of like saw, like most hammer saws, the good ones. So that means people aren't going to be popping up into my saw, at least. I don't know.
That's a good plan. I had something to say. Yeah, I've been very impressed with like the light amount of testing I've done with AM32. Zane will be AM32 for this event, unless some extreme stuff happens. But I think it will be able to like push itself off of walls even better than Droopy can.
That's cool.
Because Droopy uses Vesk, and I don't know how different they are. But AM32 has been really impressive. So hopefully people can't slow down my weapons like they can with Droopy. but if you stop the weapons and get a top attack in, I think Mako versus Droopy would be, or Mako versus Zane is the possible version this time. Mako versus Zane will be a very, very good fight because you are a very aggressive driver. I love watching your fights every time because even if you're like losing, it's like, oh, well, there goes a 9-inch finger tag weapon bar flying across the arena.
All right, yeah. at mass destruction, I ran a
there's a
giant anchor weapon.
Yeah, I like that you're not afraid to get your weapon destroyed. It makes for very entertaining fights. And I think we're both the fact that we both have like something unique that is a weakness that the other could exploit is it would make a very good fight, I think.
For sure.
There's definitely a lot of robots in the field that, like, of course I'm afraid to fight Caldera. Of course I'm afraid to fight Silent X, I think, is the one that signed up.
The next is coming.
Not that I don't want to.
A lot of
fear for Zane, if I do. Yeah. There's no links, though, so that's nice.
That's good. And speaking of overheads, I believe Subtraction is coming. Yep, Subtraction is coming from Seth, and I know he's got some improvements on it, so hopefully it won't, you know, end up stuck on its back.
He's talking about some pretty crazy upgrades for Subtraction that made them sound not like an SSP kit anymore.
Right, yeah, I think it's a totally different thing now, so that's exciting.
Yeah. The trick with overhead horizontals is that they got to be able to get themselves back up if you flip them over. It's been a time trying to get Zane to do that. As Zane has never been able to do that. Hopefully it is this time.
I'll keep that in mind.
I think it will be this time, but
one interesting thing is this is only for listeners of the podcast. I'm preparing a lifter config with some extra side armor for potentially horizontal spinners. Now, I don't want to use it because I love sawing into things, but if we get deep into the day and I think like, hey, I got to give myself the best chance, I might try that out. I think that's why SSP can be so effective, because the lifter is great against a lot of matchups, and then the big old wedge against horizontal spinners is just, it's crazy. So it's great for beginners that get a chance to kind of experience both sides of that.
Yeah, 100%.
I will echo that the SSP is like a ridiculously good kit. Like, those robots are so tough.
Yeah, and that's the thing that, you know, I like to, when I talk about kits and things like that, like, you know, some people may have their feelings about that, but the kits, especially SSP, are so customizable. I mean, I think you can really take that and make the robot your own. So, you know, and they're always tough. It's a really well-built, you know, system and everything. So we'll see how that goes. Now, the last thing that I wanted to ask is not even necessarily just for this event, but for this year, for both of you, you know, what are your personal goals for your robots? Because I think everybody has their own goals of like what they want to achieve with their robot, but I'm curious for the two of you what that looks like.
Let you go first.
Golden dumpster. I'm just kidding. I wish. I just really like to get great hits. I always say, like, even if I lose all of my matches, if I can get like a crazy hit, a crazy cut, I'm very excited about it. This tournament, me and my brother both have our own bots, and he's driving a mini bot for me, and they've helped me get a bunch of my knockouts before. Not this tournament, but in future tournaments this year, we're going to try to build more of a multi-bot where it's more equal, to where my brother can get in there and lift people up and I can come in there and saw into them. So I'm excited for the prospects of that later on this year. it's going to be the same thing where I don't think I'm going to win, but who knows? We'll see. I can probably do some exciting things. Last tournament, I had my first lipo fire. So that's very exciting. If I could do that again, even if I lose all my matches, I'm happy.
Yeah. Zane has been plagued by issues of being unprepared, as well as every single one of my other robots has had like kind of a glaring problem that I didn't fix, even though I may have seen it in testing, or just didn't test it enough to find. My actual New Year's resolution was that my robots are going to stop losing to me and start losing to their opponents. I think this version of Zane is going to have a really hard time losing to either of those. I think it's good. It'll lose control fights. Don't worry. I don't think we're getting a golden dumpster. I don't think we're qualifying for finals quite yet, but it's going to be a tough robot to kill. And even for me.
Hey, well, that's awesome. I mean, these are definitely two robots that I am the most excited to watch fight at March NHRL. So obviously that's why I wanted to have the two of you on to talk about them. So everybody like that's watching this, if you are not watching March NHRL that weekend, I don't know what you're doing. So please make sure that you watch. I think it's going to be a really great event. And of course, you know, as I always say, keep supporting combat robotics and all of that. And, you know, come out to an event because they're a lot of fun.